It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now, here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. The best radio is when we're in breaks. There's no doubt about it. Tickled to death to be with you this Saturday, and every Saturday in the studio with me, my co-host basking in his aura, one of the greatest people I've ever known in my entire life, Mark Tobin. My executive producer is just lights out. There is none, no better. And then also to my immediate right, well within striking distance, is Greg Thompson. Drives a F-O-R-D, but other than that, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. So we're going to take you fishing today. I want to make a good show.
I've heard news.
Uh-oh. Good, bad, or indifferent?
It's very good.
Uh-oh.
And it's about hybrids.
Oh, Tom Noyes, are you listening, Dr. Tom? He called me the other day wanting to know about these hybrids.
Time to get to Milford.
Milford.
Catching them by the truckload was the quote that I was given.
Truckload.
Vic Ertley, he has a bait company, Double W Baits, and he's been under the weather for the last year. He had broke his hip and had some equilibrium problems, and he hadn't been able to get out on the water for a year. Well, he was just out there for the last couple of days, for the first time in a year. And he said everywhere he stopped, it was unbelievable. Lots of little hybrids, but lots of mid-sized hybrids, and every now and then you get a big one.
Ooh.
But he's going out late. He doesn't even go out on the water till 5 o'clock. And he caught them on every kind of bait you can imagine. Spoons, jigs, topwater baits, out on flats. But he says it's early. This is a couple of weeks earlier. Normally it's a little closer to July when they really get going. But he says it's happening now. So if you want to catch hybrids, and a lot of them, it sounds like it's time to get to Milford.
It does, doesn't
it? Don't
you
hate hearing that and having to be here?
Oh, my goodness. You realize what the bite would be right now?
I know. Yes.
Just breaking light.
Yes.
It would be unbelievable.
We've done good down there in July and August. You know, especially August when you get the heat to the summer. We do good on them all day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's doing it early and late. I don't know why you can't catch them midday right now.
I bet you can.
Yeah, I think you can if you just out there.
The thing about Milford, what I enjoyed about Milford was the quality.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Monster fish.
And I don't know what's going on because it seems like there's a lot more. And I don't know if it's because, you know, maybe there hadn't been as much pressure the last 2 years, and they're continuing to stock them at the rate that they did. But it sounds like there's a lot of fish in there, a lot of smaller ones. So, And they're fun. I mean, the big ones are funner, but the little ones, they fight good, too.
Yeah, well, a time of year. You know, I'm hearing, and this is not a good thing I'm hearing. This is not good news. A lot of the guide services are about to starve death. This $5 gasoline that's just, or $4.80 or whatever you want to call the price of that, is killing them. And people are going to stay home.
Yeah.
And they just can't afford the adios down there, you know, a tank of gas down, back, you know, tanking a boat, you know, you're talking $100 or better. You know, that's a serious deal.
Yeah, I'm not going down to the lake near as much as I did. It's too expensive now.
Yeah, yeah.
And my boat is a 65-gallon, has a 65-gallon tank.
Oh, my. What is that? That takes an awful lot of money, doesn't it?
Let's see, 65 times, what is it, four, we'll just say 59. That's $298 to fill up my boat. Are you kidding me?
That's un-American.
It's ridiculous.
It's un-American.
And it doesn't have to be this way. I'm so upset about this. Yep. And my lawn service, you know, we have a lot of vehicles, and this gas is just eating us alive.
Oh, I bet.
Not to mention what it's doing to the fertilizer cost, material cost. That's all just ridiculous.
You know, it quadrupled its fertilizer, and next year they're talking about doing it again.
Oh, my God. I don't know how we can get through this.
I don't either. I don't know.
I mean, we're looking at 40% increase over last year, and they're saying it could be over 50%.
Yeah. It is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I got to change the topic then. This is from Greg Thompson. Because we're getting too serious.
Oh,
here.
Blame it on me.
Yeah, he said, found out if you flip a canoe over, you can wear it as a hat because it's capsized.
I see. That's not good.
Too early for that one.
All I said was that sounded like a Tobin joke.
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
I didn't say it was a good joke. I said it was a Tobin joke.
Here we go.
Blake Sneeders, our executive producer.
This is a family show, though. I know you guys are all family men, so I don't know if you want me to tell it, but it's a good fishing joke.
Tell. Yeah.
All right. You guys gave me the okay. Did you guys hear about the lady that went out with two fishermen?
No.
She came back with a red snapper.
All righty then.
It's been nice being here.
Yeah.
We've been here longer than I thought. You know, they had the front door wasn't open this morning. I thought, well, they finally caught up with us.
Yeah, I know, right?
So I'd go around to the south door, and they haven't changed the lock on that one yet. We're a step ahead of them. We snuck in the side door, you know, this morning. Oh, well.
I got two or three just short announcements. Safe travels to Toby Lewandowski. He's headed to Canada fishing this morning.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I talked to him last night. Yeah, Toby. Yeah, he's going to be listening this morning. So good morning, Toby. Have much fun and can't wait to hear a report.
And this will get him, too. As of Sunday, the CDC has dropped the you don't have to test to come back in the United States. So guys that are fishing Mexico and places outside of Canada, you won't have to have a negative test to come back in the United States.
I also got some good news to pass along for you waterfowlers out here, which is three of us. There is a 16% increase in mating pairs up on the prairie potholes in North Dakota. They did their
cool.
This isn't the hens aren't on the nest per se. Some are, very few of them, but 16%.
Increase.
Now, that's huge.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, and so this fall, I don't know if we're going to have enough bullets.
Huh.
You know, and that is going to be a problem. If you guys haven't got your waterfowl loads, you need to be thinking about it. This is not going to be good. You're going to have the biggest increase on that eventually. Probably will hit about August. But you better be stocking up just a little bit. Hmm. Be a good time to run to Rogers.
Yeah, right.
And get some ammo. You need ammo on the deal. So
I don't know if you read it or not, but I posted a really good post about what to do if you see somebody drowning. And if y'all go to our site, you should really read that.
Is this serious?
Yes, very informative about what you should and shouldn't do. And one of the number ones is jump in after them. Do not do that.
Well, I did it once.
Yeah.
Yeah, I shouldn't have done it.
Yeah, how many times have you heard of somebody that jumped in to save somebody's life and they saved their life and died? It's really good. It's from the Corps of Engineers. I posted it on our site.
Thank you.
And it's well worth reading.
Worth reading?
Yes.
Now, if Blake was drowning, would you go in for him?
No, I'd look and see where his bourbon was and take it. He wasn't going to need it anymore.
Yeah, that's true. So, see you. See you around a gulch.
If you got him out of the water, would you give him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation?
Oh, no. Whoa.
I'm sorry. You're going to die.
Good news and bad news. Good news is out of the water. Bad news is you're going to die.
I even brushed my teeth this morning for this.
What?
So I even brushed my teeth this morning.
Not the end of the month.
First time.
I'll tell you something else that was cool this morning. I was sitting there drinking my coffee about 3 o'clock. I live over in Liberty, and most beautiful hoot owls. Uh-huh. They were just singing. Uh-huh. Oh my gosh!
Well, I'll be darned. Cool.
I saw an owl chasing a deer this morning.
That's a good sign. That's an Indian sign.
Oh, really?
Okay, I'll bite.
I just made it up. Yeah. I don't know. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Chasing a deer.
Right in front of my car.
Huh.
Wow.
Now, the other thing I saw was a hen turkey with a bunch of little poults.
Oh, good. Oh.
And this is the second sighting. The first sighting, there was 12. And then the second, this one the other morning, I couldn't tell. There were itty-bitty things. I'm talking smaller than quail.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was maybe a late hatch or normal hatch. But anyway, they were... running everywhere, so I couldn't get and there was just enough weeds you couldn't get a count on them. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe things are turning around a little bit.
Well, that's a good sign for sure.
What's the deal on the crappie?
Well, it's kind of good and bad. They have definitely moved out into their summer patterns. Have summer they? Patterns being main lake and flats and things like that. And they're a little bit tougher to come by, although you can still wade through some smaller fish and still get limits of fish, but it's definitely tougher. Lakes are high now. Even Kansas is, most of those lakes are up a little bit, muddied up a little bit. But I've heard some people completely striking out, but on the other hand, I've heard, you know, talking to Richard Bowling out on Truman, he's still catching fish, but they're scattered. You got to cover a lot more water to get them than they were before. And still catching them on jigs, not having to use minnows, but
the spawn is over.
Oh yeah, definitely.
100% done, gone. There wouldn't be any crappie up on the bank, would there?
Shouldn't be. Although last weekend I had a buddy down at Lake of the Ozarks, and he was fishing around his dock, and he did catch, I think they had 15 that they caught. That still had eggs in them. And sometimes, they'll still have eggs in them this time of year, and they're not going to lay them. Yeah. They've laid part of them, but they're going to absorb them. But they were up on the bank. But this was at 10 o'clock at night. This was on a Friday. And they didn't do any good during the day. And then at 10 o'clock at night, they turned on.
The fish moved in there.
Yeah. So there could be, maybe a straggler here or there. But we're past Memorial Weekend. It's usually long done by then.
Yeah.
I was visiting with Toby. I fished with him last Friday just targeting big fish, and I was asking him. I didn't realize it's legal to fish with live bait in a crappie tournament. So I said, do you think those fish are more active in a crappie tournament? He says, well, I never go to the live bait. He said, I focus more on the profile. If I'm not getting bites, I change the profile of my jig.
Makes sense.
I don't know. He catches more big crappie than I do.
Is Richard Bowling, does he run LiveScope?
Yes.
What's he think? Have you talked to him in detail about it? What's his thought pattern on it now? It's been, people are down the road with this now for a couple of years or even longer, but is the jury still out? Is it a great deal? Is it a bad deal? What's going on?
Well, the people that have it, it's a great deal. The people that don't think it's a bad deal.
Yeah. That's about what it amounts to, isn't it?
And some of it's, I think, not understanding the technology. Some of it is you can't, some people just can't afford it. And there may be a little jealousy there, a little hard feelings there. But, the people that understand it, I don't think they would want to be without it. It's just a game changer. But it doesn't mean just because you have it, you're going to catch fish either. You can find them and see what they're doing and understand what they're doing a little better. But it doesn't guarantee that you're going to catch them. And it definitely is a helpful tool. And I know Richard, he's learned a lot about crappie that he didn't know. And I'm sure that's – well, Toby Lewandowski, you fished with him.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's an education, isn't it?
It's definitely an education. We never got within 50 yards of the bank. And the biggest crappie, there's only like one or two or three of them. And that's it in a tree or in an area, and then you might as well move on to the next one. But it's just amazing where they are and where they're sitting. And even instead of throwing out and letting it swing by them, if you drop it straight down on them, you're more apt to catch them. If you swing by them, most of the time they're just not interested. The biggest.
Well, they got to burn a lot of energy to get what little bait, I guess, and they just look at it and go, oh, okay, I don't know.
He's a great him, Richard Bowling, Toby Lewandowski from Acute Angling, and Brian Andrake from the Kansas Angling Experience. They're all three really good with LiveScope, and they're great teachers with them.
Oh.
Toby just is very patient.
He'd have to be with me.
Yeah. No, so, you talk about a great guy to go out with.
Yeah. We got to take a little bit of a break. When I come back, I got a question to ask you guys about that. The jury is out as far as I'm concerned on the darn thing. So we are brought to you by KingCityLumber.com. If you've not been to their website, you are the last human on the face of the earth that's not been there. They are the finest builders of outbuildings in the United States of America. That's my opinion. I'm entitled to my opinion. Everybody looked at me like, what? I'm not. Yes, I am. But anyway, Marty and Monty Tunks are the finest people. They have master carpenters, first-rate lumber. They will do anything that you need done on these buildings. These guys are phenomenal. I watched them build a building here a while back, and they didn't know who I was, thank goodness. But you could just tell those guys. Man, they were professionals and pros. So when you're getting ready for an outbuilding for your combine, your tractor, a garage, whatever you're looking for, a loafing shed, these are the guys you use. Excuse me, KingCityLumber.com. And the best part about these guys, they will not go away until you 110% satisfied. And like I had that buddy of mine tell me, he said the foundation settled out a little bit. They came back and fixed it.
Wow.
And they didn't have to. They just did it. You know, that was the right thing to do, and they did it. So KingCityLumber.com. Tell you what, you're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. All three of our listeners are up and going this morning. We're doing great, aren't we? We're doing okay.
Yeah. One of them's leaving the country. Toby.
We'll be down to two. Well, what the hey. We enjoyed him while he was around, though. There's no doubt about it. Now, let's talk a little bit about this live scope. And I've got some incoming off of this. They say it's bruising the resource. You guys agree or not?
I think it's probably maybe a little bit too early to say for sure. But there are people catching fish that weren't catching fish before. But, you know, that's why there's limits. And I think if it looks like things are getting out of balance, the regulations will be changed. But the fishing's been great. I mean, a lot of people catching a lot of fish. So from what I'm seeing, it doesn't seem like it's had any impact. You know, this is the same thing that happened when spider rigging got popular.
Yeah.
And people were saying it was going to ruin the sport. You know, it was just unfair. Spider rigging, you know, using lots of multiple rods with multiple lures and trolling big expanses of water. And those people were catching fish when, you know, rod and reel fishermen weren't doing it, weren't catching fish. And so that's what, you know, the people that were not catching fish had ill feelings toward the people that were catching fish, which is no different than mm-hmm. what's going on with LiveScope. So I don't think it's going to have an impact. But, in fact, Kansas did a study.
That's what I was getting ready to talk about. And
last
summer. They didn't feel like it was hurting the resource.
Exactly.
No, they posted it. Yep. But we posted on our website that study.
Yep.
What I'll say is, you know, a lot of people, though, believe that they can go out and spend $3,000, $4,000, $6,000 on these electronics and turn the power on and catch fish. They're just going to jump in the boat. So just because you have a live scope doesn't mean you know how to run it. And I'd go to wager 2 or 3 out of 10 could actually use it well enough to catch the fish.
Everybody I talk to about one has a terrible time with side imaging. Have you heard the same thing or not? Not you haven't.
See,
I don't know anybody that really uses side imaging. Myself, I know it's, you know, it's very popular and it's a good tool also. But yeah,
most of them mount the live scope so they can turn it
on a separate pole.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. So some are mounted directly to the trolling motor, which I don't like. I like a separate pole so you can, you know, if you have to turn your trolling motor, then you're changing the view of your live scope. So it's better to have it on its own separate.
Do you tend to watch TV versus fish?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's the bad part about it.
That's the bad part, isn't it?
That's exactly. You turn fishing into a video game.
Now, the guys fishing bass tournaments, they're not allowed to use this?
Don't know. Good Lord. Have you seen some of those guys? They'll have 6 or 8 screens on their boat.
Yeah. Well, you know, that would change the whole tournament thing to me.
You know, I mean,
your dock fishermen.
If they use it, they use them in crappie tournaments.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't, you know, I'm old. I don't like change. It's like any old person would, but it just, I don't know. It's okay, you know. I guess, you know, to me, the jury's still out on it. Mm-hmm. That's the way I look at it.
For somebody like me, though, it works a lot. When I do have time to fish, I don't have much time to fish, and it does take out the places that I think look good, and there's not a fish there. Hmm. So at least I'm throwing in places where there are fish. Now, am I catching every fish I see? Heck no.
Hmm. Well, it's interesting. You know, things are changing, and I don't know if it's for the good or bad, but we'll see down the road. Again, you know, like you said earlier, jury's still out.
I think so. Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I'd like to think I knew, but I don't. You know, I just don't know how it could hurt. It sure, you know, if you take the big spawning crappie out, I wonder, does that make a difference?
Well, it hadn't so far, and you know, people got to be somewhat responsible too. Don't keep all of those spawning fish. You know, a lot of people ask about the only time that they can catch a crappie.
Yeah.
is when they're up there spawning, and you know, return some of the, you know, it's really important, return some of those males, let them stay guarding the nest.
Mm-hmm. But, we caught at least 20 between 1.5 and 2 pounds, and none of them went home with us. They went right back in the water.
Thank goodness. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. Do you think that most crappie fishermen are gay?
No, that's only duck hunters.
Oh, those guys. Well, we do wear pink in the blind.
Well, you know, you got the feathers and everything. You don't see crappie fishermen. Well, I guess crappie fishermen use feathers, too.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I had a guy call me and ask me that, and I said, well, I'll talk about it on the air. I don't know. You know,
does gay mean happy?
What?
Does gay mean happy?
Yeah, have you, it does.
Yeah. Have you ever eaten barbecue crappie?
Not barbecued. With like barbecue sauce?
Yeah.
Now, I've grilled it.
Interesting.
And then put some barbecue rub on a crappie?
I have not.
That might not be too bad. Because you could even make fish tacos out of crappie with rubbing
that before.
Chili powder or barbecue rub.
Can we give you an assignment to do that?
Yeah, sure.
Try it. Okay. And then give us a report next week.
Okay. So barbecue rub.
Yeah, try
a little bit of barbecue rub.
Yeah, let's try it. I don't know. Maybe
Greg got me a real good recipe. If you got some hybrid or bigger white bass or even largemouth bass.
Walleye.
Yeah, walleye. I don't know. I'd do this on walleye. I don't know.
In Canada, that's where we came. We started doing that.
This tastes exactly like king crab meat.
What are you doing?
So,
I use that as Louisiana shrimp and crab boil. Put that in a pot, a can of beer. And the reason why you put the beer in is if you put the beer in, it makes the meat a little firmer. So you just do it like you were boiling shrimp. When it comes to the top, pull it out and just take some unsalted butter and some garlic and put it in the microwave and melt it and just dip that in the liquid, in the purified butter.
It's so simple, but it tastes like you're eating crab meat.
Really?
King crab meat. Yeah,
well, here's the scoop. So the first time I turned him on to this, I said, we went and caught some whites, and I said, leave me out 5 or 6 fillets, and I'll make us some for an appetizer, because I saw he had that stuff, and we had a little beer, surprise.
Beer.
So so I made it. I made the stuff, and I put the bowl out, and I got one bite. he stood there at the kitchen table, cabinet, and ate the whole bowl.
I just make garlic butter. Just take garlic powder and melt it in the butter. Mm-hmm. And it's just real good.
Oh,
now let's go through this one more time because you went by that real fast. Now, what are you doing here?
Get some shrimp boil, put it in the pot with water like you would boil shrimp.
Uh huh.
Pour a can of beer in with it to keep the meat firm, and then just put your chunks of filet. I cut them up like
little one inch cubes.
Yeah, little 1 inch cubes. Put them in there when they float to the top and they're white. Dip them out, and then just take a fork and dip the fish in the butter, and then put it in your mouth. Oh,
it's so good. It's so simple.
That's simple and good. It
doesn't take just a couple of minutes to cook that fish.
Yeah. It's
good. Well, I'll be darned. Yeah. Well, whatever.
I had a bag. We do a crawfish boil a couple of times a year, and Louisiana Crawfish Company is where we get our crawfish from, and they always send a bag of seasoning with it to cook the crawfish in. And we just had extra, and that's what we were using down there. But you can get the stuff at Price Chopper or whatever.
Yeah, I buy it at store. I use the same stuff.
Wow. Yep. Well, that sounds good to
me. Oh, it's, yep.
How's our good friend Joe Falco doing?
In fact, I'm going over there today.
Oh, yeah?
He's got a lot over there I need to mow. But, yeah, they're hoping that they're going to – they got 3 new boats in this past week, 3 lines.
Whoa, that's step A.
Yeah, right, and hoping they can continue that trend on through the summer. They were afraid they weren't going to get any for the rest of the summer, but it looks like a few are trickling in off and on. So if you're in the market, he says he's surprised that even with the high gas prices, they are still selling some boats, which that's a surprise to me too. But if you got a boat, you know, right now you want to – yeah, the market for used boats is just insane right now. So if you do have a used boat and
good
you need to get
trade
it
in.
Yep, trade in, or if you just want to get it fixed up and you're going to sell it, they've got the best service department, bar none. That's Sportsman's Outfitter Marine. Dave Hemme, he's the head mechanic out there. And there's just not anything that he can't fix. He's just such a good guy. bunch of good people out there, Sportsman's Outfit Marine. Go out there. Last Belt and Exit on the west side of 49 Highway.
Is it time to winterize your boat?
Not quite.
Okay. It is darn sure time to make sure everything's okay on your motor, because if you break down your motor because you screwed up on something, you're not getting parts.
Well, and
period.
Fuel is a big problem.
Sure
that's always been their number one.
Yeah.
The reason most boats get brought in, that's the number one problem that they have is fuel related. And it's this, you know, the ethanols. And for boats, it's not such a good thing because it collects moisture, and that's bad on the fuel. So make sure you're using additives to keep that moisture out of them.
Have you guys priced any of the big motors?
Not.
You'll have culture shock. Those big 100, you know, 200, 300 horse Mercs for every whatever you're buying, Hondas. Wow.
Over 1,000 horsepower.
Oh, my goodness. It's just crazy. Yeah. It's absolutely crazy in the deal. But the way it is, you know, supply, demand, and it makes the prices go up on the deal. So I don't know.
Everything.
We got who we got on for guest?
Bob Daly. He's been on before.
Uh-huh. And
world traveling fisherman.
Oh, my goodness.
Been everywhere, huh? Cool.
I don't know how many people have had their guides go to an island and ask the tribal chief if they could spend the night on the island while they were out fishing in nowhere land.
You don't dial 911 on those guys, huh?
No. You might end up in a pot.
Yeah, really. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a little bit of a break. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors, and in the studio with me is Greg Thompson and Mark Tobin, and we're trying to make a better outdoorsman out of you. You know, we are sponsored by a company called Shurag, and I can't say enough good things about Shurag. Those people are absolutely phenomenal, and I just love them to death. They came up and sprayed my duck lake for me, Mark, and, of course, I had to replant three times because the snow geese ate it all out, and the highlight of stupidity is Fred Ramsey. So kept doing the same thing over, expecting different results. But I didn't think that the snow geese would stick around like this. But they walked down the rows and ate everything out of there, and so, of course, had to replant. So the weeds got with it, you know. So the guys came up. I've never seen a more professional job in my entire life. And that's the way these guys are. And they care. And they mix it so precisely, the chemicals that they're putting on your ground for the weed control. And of the three managers, in which they are located at Four City, Savannah, and Osburn, Missouri, the three managers between the three of them got 115 years of experience.
That's what you want.
That's what you
want.
On
your side, yep.
You know, it used to be, we were talking on the break about, he used to make every acre paint count. Now you better make every inch count, because it is getting so intense of fuel cost and fertilizer cost and seed cost and herbicide cost. Well, these guys here, they know how to put on the phosphate, the potash, the sulfate, urea, whatever you're in tune to, the gypsum, zinc, manganese. They know, you know, they're not just a bunch of fly-by-night guys. There's nobody I've ever been around. This is making, I think, the 16th year I've used them, and they are phenomenal. I wish I could do better on this commercial. I can't make people understand how professional these guys are. Shurag, again, they're located in Savannah, Missouri, Osburn, Missouri, and Four City, Missouri, home of the Bobcats. But if you're looking for somebody that cares about your farm, does it professionally, and does it with a great desire, I think is what I would say. That's the people you want to do. It's called Shurag. They're a spinoff of SureGrow of the three plants, Richmond and Hall and all the guys. And I've never been around anybody like these guys. And they really do. They just care about, they want professionalism. And these guys, you know, Mark, you've been in this business spraying weeds for years.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes the magic works. And sometimes the magic does.
Absolutely, right.
It depends on the temperature and humidity and wind blowing and all the rain immediately afterwards. And these guys here will come back and make sure it's right. I've never been around anybody like it. I can't say enough good things about them. Shurag, again, Savannah, Osborne, Four City. Say hello to them guys up there. They're wonderful. My brother worked there forever and ever and ever. Yeah, and retired from there, from Suregrow when it was Suregrow. But anyway, I just love these guys. I can't do this commercial. It's like Reed. You know, I can't do that commercial with enough zeal, I guess is what we want to say. But they're just, you know, just fine people that are professional and care. So anyway, I'd sure look them up if I was farming. Shurag, you're going to love them. This can't say enough good things about them. Who we got lined up here as a guest?
We have world traveling fisherman Mr. Bob Daly on the phone with us. Bob, how are you doing, buddy? Thanks for getting up and being with us.
Great. Good morning, fellas. How are you all today?
Well, I've wished I'd been doing what you've been doing. You spent an entire month in Argentina? What's that like? What's Argentina like, first of all, before we even talk about the fishing?
Well, Argentina is so diverse of a country. You can go from warmer temperatures up north to extremely cold down south.
Really?
Argentina is much bigger than most people think. I mean, there are actually penguins at the southern end of Argentina.
What? Wow.
Argentina is this jump-off place for tours to the South Pole.
Wow. Well, I'll be darned. I had no idea.
Yes.
Well, what drew you there?
Well, years ago, back in like the 1980s, I started fishing for peacock bass. And I did that for about 20 years. And I think I've seen the better years as the peacock bass kept more people kept coming down. And the fish started getting accustomed to chopper-type baits. And I seen a few magazines that had golden dorados in there. And the only place to catch them would be Argentina and Paraguay. And then I saw a magazine article where a section on the Uruguay River, which came to be known as Vazona, opened up, and they were getting huge dorados. Mm-hmm. I mean, a trophy dorado in Argentina is 12 pounds. They were getting 40, 50 pounds.
Ooh, wow.
So I was able to get a booking, and the fish stories were true. They do get that big, and I have been down there every year since, except for COVID. And while I was down there, I got to be really good friends with the small majority owner in Arizona, Carlos Castellano. And he later opened a resort on a Jurassic Lake with Lago Strobel, which is down at the southern end of Patagonia. And there they put rainbows from the Santa Cruz River that are McLeod strain, and the rancher was originally going to commercial fish rainbows, and he lost interest in it, and these rainbows just exploded and got wild.
Oh, no.
And they get huge. Mm. I was just down there in April, and I would say our average rainbow was 14 pounds.
You said pounds. I was expecting pounds. 14 inches.
14 pounds.
And a lot of them.
Wow.
My best day was 71.
My gosh, that's unbelievable.
Wow.
And that big. And these aren't steelhead.
No.
No, no.
Talk about the conditions on that lake.
Strobel is the most windiest place that you have seen in your life. The wind howls an average of, say, 40 to 50 miles an hour per day. So I have never heard of a boat being on the lake. It is so rough.
Wow.
And the wind blows into the same direction every day, of course, right into your face.
You're right. Wherever you're trying to cast,
yeah. Right in your face.
So there are like five or four good spots on the river, which you rotate at lunchtime every day. So you fish two out of the four every day, and they're all within a five-minute walking distance of the lodge. The lodge oversits the only river on the lake, and the rainbows go in there by the thousands on during the early season, which would be September. I'm going back in September.
Oh, wow. How
so the season goes from September to April. April's the end, and when I got there, part of the river was frozen.
Wow.
And we drove in like through a foot of snow.
In April?
In April. End of April, beginning of May.
Dang.
Now, when I go in September, you could literally walk across the top of Rainbow Trout River. You'll see more rainbows than you'll see water.
Wow.
That is insane.
I mean, it's not too much trouble catching 100 rainbows a day, even on a fly rod.
But you're talking big rainbows, 14-pound plus?
Well, you want bigger than that. Well, I was there in this end of April, May, I think. For nine of us, we had maybe 12 over 22 pounds.
Wow, let's go.
Wow, that's unreal.
All your fishing is wading off, you know, wading is if you can get in there with the waves. And I've literally seen rainbows in the waves, in the surf.
Oh, my gosh. What do you use for bait?
Like balanced leeches if you're on fly fish. Or I use moonshine spoons, which are just dynamite. I can cast it out far into that wind. Where these fly guys, you know, I'm not a good fly fisherman, but there's no way I can cast it in 80-mile-hour winds.
Yeah, really.
I've never heard.
But you don't have to cast. I mean, if you cast it out, if you could cast it out 10 yards, you'll catch a fish.
I've never heard of wind blowing consistently like that.
It's like that year round, and the funny thing there is the fish. According to the owner, the fish spawn 3-4 times a year, so they're constantly spawning back and forth and coming out of that river.
Well, it sounds like they need our help. Those fish need to be thinned down.
That's right.
Yeah, you're good. Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, the lodge record's 29-something, and I've seen way bigger fish than that in the river that we just no one has ever hooked into yet, so it's just a matter of time.
That's...
And the opportunities are countless because it's a very long lake, very narrow lake, and there's thousands of bays on that river that have never been fished.
Can you imagine?
Oh, I can't. There is no way to imagine this thing. I've heard about this before, but now you're the first person I've really, really sat down and talked to about it. But my goodness, this is phenomenal. This is not great.
My friend, the owner, told me that there's rivers down at the southern end down there that'll have, he guarantees you, or guarantees me, world record brook trout that no one fishes for.
Brooks. Wow.
And I talked to my guide. He caught a 13-pound something like a brook trout.
Oh my Lord.
And he showed us the pictures.
Wow.
We're talking with Bob Daly.
One of my friends was down there earlier this year for the Big Sea Run brown trout, and he did very good. So Argentina down to Patagonia is more known for the brown trout than the rainbow trout. Down in Tierra Fuego.
Yeah.
How hard a trip is it?
Argentina has more opportunities than one would think.
How hard of a trip is it to go to Argentina?
Easy. I mean, Greg can vouch this. You just fly into Buenos Aires, and for Lozona, you take a 5-hour ride in a van up to Concordia, and you got a 5-star hotel lodge you're staying in. For Jurassic, it's a little tough for you. Fly to Calafate, which is about a 3-hour flight. Calafate's it's a tourist place. It's right next to the Los Glaciers National Park. The glaciers are just amazing. So if anybody listening ever goes down there, make sure you go a day or two early to hit this national park and see the glaciers, because the glaciers there are growing, and it's just amazing. There's icebergs floating all over the place, and you can take tours in a boat and go right next to the glaciers, and it's well worth it.
Well, I'll be darned. How commercialized is it? Is there a lot of guide services?
No. On Jurassic, I think maybe there's 2 lodges. The other lodge does not have access to the river mouth, which is the majority of the best fishing is. And on Lozona, only 2 boats are allowed there by government permit from the Argentina government. Now, Uruguay government just released 2 permits for those folks, so there'll be pretty soon 4 boats in the zone. Wow. All I'm talking about a zone is just a section of the Uruguay River that is close to a power dam that the government will not let any of the locals come into.
Wow.
So they drive around on jet skis and either give you a big ticket or pull a gun out and get you out of there.
Wow.
Is it hard to get a trip booked? I mean, are they booked out for a while or how?
It's hard now. They're booked for about a year straight. After Greg was there and caught all those big fish, the word got out, I think, on the radio show. So.
Sorry. A year.
Well, there's no, I mean, I know another place that has even bigger Dorado, but you can't fish there. So of the places that are open, there is no other place you don't catch Dorado that big, consistently. Consistently, there'll be a few over 40 pounds, maybe 50 every single week.
So what's the deal about a Dorado? I mean, I'm in shock about these huge rainbows there. Oh. But tell me about the Dorado. What's the draw with them?
Dorado is, in my opinion, the second hardest freshwater fighting fish there is. The big ones will strike about, jerk the rods out of your arms. And actually, I owned the rod to one of my friends, and he had the rod jerked out of his arm and saw the reel and rod jumping with the Dorado.
Oh.
And most, the majority of the big Dorados will come out and jump. And
cool.
They will turn your wooden lures into sawdust. They'll bend the hooks. So you've got to do a lot of tackle preparation before you battle these things.
That's got to be a bit of an adrenaline rush.
I got to tell you, Bob's really been my mentor on some of these fishing trips. And the lures and stuff he's talking about, you can't get around here. We're getting them on the coast, Japan, all over Australia, to even get stuff that will hold these things. They will crush in a saltwater treble hook. Crush it in.
Whoa.
Crazy.
I've had a Ben Owner 66 hooks, which I can't barely bend with a vice grip.
Wow.
Jesus, Wes.
Hey, Bob, I'd like to switch gears with you for a little bit. Talk a little bit about some of that stuff you're doing when you're fishing out there in the ocean and just hopping islands and throwing lures that are big as a gallon coffee can.
I got hooked maybe about 10 years ago on giant trevally. I was one of those people that said, well, I will never saltwater fish. I'm freshwater only. And then I just said one day, what the heck? And I went to the Maldives, and I got hooked on these giant trevally. It's all poppers, and these fish will literally pull you out of the boat. So I got to be friends on Facebook with Luke Weisgott of Rock Expeditions in Papua New Guinea. So I booked a trip with him, and it's basically roughing it. You're camping, just island hopping, after he gets permission from the natives to get into that area, or there could be some problems. things are just starting to open back up. I'm going back down there in end of November. But this past November, I was in the Gambier Islands in French Polynesia, and the fishing there was just fantastic.
Oh, my goodness.
My friend was lucky. He got a 131-pound GT, which is about as big as this dresser I'm looking at right now.
Yeah. Wow.
It was just gigantic. But New Guinea is going like back in time. You can also go bass fishing, Papua New Guinea bass, which I have done before. It's more or less a freshwater snapper, and those fish are for sure the top fighting fish for freshwater with strength. They'll pull you out of the boat. I had a 40-pound fish pull me to my knees.
Dang.
And I was using 200-pound braid to try to handle these things.
What?
Wow.
Am I right? They cruise in the open water, and when they hit your bait, they head to the timber, and you have to turn them if you're even going to catch them.
Correct. You could go on YouTube. Lefty Creech was down there with fly rods, and he would hook some maybe in the 20-pound range, and he had the guy back that motor up as fast as he could just to try to pull those fish out of those layers.
Wow.
Because if you don't turn that fish in a split second, you're not going to catch it. They do not bite coming out. It's a wood nest. They stay like their house. They hit their lures going into that thing. Mm-hmm. So you have to turn that thing real fast.
Hmm. Well, all the things, you've been all over the world. What's some of the places you've been to that really stand out in your memory?
Well, New Guinea for sure. I was in Uganda, Africa for Nile Perch. That was a very interesting place just for the wildlife, and the fishing was good. I've been to China, which is a lot different than what people think China is. I mean, I thought it was, the people were very nice. I mean, that's before any of this trouble here, but we were fishing for a fish called a yellowfin carp, and it looks nothing like, it looks like a big pike.
Hmm. Cool.
My friend got one, two of them about 100 pounds each.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
And obviously, Arizona. But I really like Argentina and Papua New Guinea as my two favorite places to go fishing.
How can people, if we have listeners that might want to take a trip to Argentina, where should they start in trying to figure this out?
Well, it depends what you want to catch. I mean, do you want to go down to Patagonia and fly fish and catch trout, or do you want to go up to the northern area and catch Dorado?
Let's say trout.
Trout, I mean, the best time for trout to me would be end of September or the end of April. And it's easy to get a booking. I mean, you could either just talk to Greg or talk to me, and I'm not a booking agent. I could help you.
And neither am I.
Give you some information on the place and, tell you, I don't lie. I'll tell you exactly like the place is, what to expect, how many fish to catch. And just like New Guinea, I'll tell you, it's a trip not for everybody. It's roughing it. You don't catch fish, you might not eat.
Wow.
You're going to be drinking warm water. You've got a big bathroom facility out in the ocean. It's not like you're going to a five-star hotel.
The one place that you went, Papua New Guinea, you were some of the first white people that had been in that area, weren't you?
When we went to the jungle, we were the first white guys into the region that we went, and we had the village chief with us at all times. And he said, if I wasn't with, the odds are you'd be killed.
Whoa.
That's
so you have to get permission, and that was an amazing trip because we had pretty good conditions. We actually set the world record on Papua New Guinea bass like five times.
What the heck?
And the one man that did get the record, and I think it's been broken since.
Gee whiz.
But just there's no other fishes there. So, I mean, 99% of those rivers have never been fished before.
Can you imagine?
So
being
someplace like that?
Endless the opportunities there.
Yeah.
And along with the bass, you catch Big Bear Monday.
Wow.
Is it?
For the folks listening that don't know what a Bear Monday is, it looks like a snook or a Nile perch.
Oh, cool.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Huh.
Are these kind of trips?
That's freshwater.
Are these kind of trips super expensive?
Yes and no. I mean, right now, a lot of these places have come down way in price because they got hit just as bad as we have, and they had no bookings during COVID. So a lot of them are just trying to survive.
Huh.
So a lot of them will negotiate.
Huh.
Well, what a great time to.
The tackle's more expensive than the trip sometimes.
if you want to go for giant trevally, just to say, buy a rod and a reel that can handle those fish, you're talking about $1,000 a piece. $1,000 on a rod, $1,000 on a reel.
Wow.
Just to handle those. I mean, the reels we're using have 70 pounds of drag on them. I mean, obviously you can't lock that thing up.
And they're pulling the drag.
And they're pulling the drag at 70 pounds.
You've got to wear a good pair of gloves and grab the spool. And I've Greg knows this. I've had my gloves just get a big burn mark right through them from that thing zipping out so fast.
Well, you know, I understand you guys are telling me straight up, but, boy, I'm from Missouri. Got to show me this stuff. I mean, my goodness, 70 pounds of drag and then pulling the drag?
Yeah.
I just can't fathom it. It doesn't function in my brain, which isn't much left anyway.
Well,
but.
And you're always thinking, you know, I've always been taught, you know, I've fished in the Midwest for walleyes, crappies, bluegills, and I was raised, don't ever touch your spool. By my father fishing, and so I get down there, I'm losing fish after fish, and the guy kept saying, "Grab the spool, grab the spool." I said, "Well, if I grab the spool, I'll break my rod." He goes, "No, you won't." So I started to grab the spool, and I got it down pretty good now.
Well,
because those fish, they hit that popper like a basketball coming out of the water, even bigger than that, and they go right down into the coral. So if they get to the coral, forget about it; they'll cut you right off.
How fun! What? We're talking with Bob Daly. Bob, you've caught the hardest fighting fish that exist in the world. Has it ruined you? I mean, can you come back home and fish for crappie?
Oh, sure. I go out here and catch bluegills. I love it. Especially through the ice.
Might as well. What the heck? Well, I'll tell you what.
Hey, any day in the water is better than sitting around watching television or luckily
exactly.
I'm retired now and here come COVID. So anytime I can get out, it's a bonus.
We're out of radio
just
time.
Real quick, if people want to get a hold of you and ask you some advice and some questions, is there a way for them to do that?
Sure. My email is doradokiller@hotmail.com. And you could always call the phone number here. Don't be some goofball. Just call me at midnight or something. 920-924-0930. If I'm not home, leave a message, and I'll for sure we'll get back to you.
DoradoKiller@hotmail.com. That'd
what,
be a great
what's
way
the phone to number again?
920-924-0930. And if I don't know, if I can't help you, I got a lot of friends that will help you.
Cool.
Awesome.
Bob, thank you. I mean,
thank you guys.
Interesting stuff.
Unbelievable story. That's great, man. That's cool. So, thank you very much.
I'm trying to talk Greg and the Gummins out of Jurassic with me. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to be seen in public with him.
Well, there's not much public there.
Yeah, not much public. So what the hey? You know. Thank you for getting up and joining us on the air.
Great to talk with you
anytime,
again, Bob.
Anytime, fellas.
All right.
Thanks,
thank
Bob.
You so much. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Okay. Bye bye.
That's the icing on the cake, that guy.
Yeah, oh, gosh. He's done it all.
You know, his bucket on his bucket list has got to be about a 55-gallon drum.
Oh, yeah. It's unbelievable.
You know, he's going to Seychelles in September also.
What is Seychelles?
Seychelles is an island
somewhere.
Yeah, I knew where it was. Off the east coast of Africa, I believe.
East coast of Africa?
My boy has air conditioning in his truck right now, thanks to Reed Chevrolet.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful? You know, I was in Reed the other day, and I was sitting there, and I kind of worked the room, you know. I love going up there because they're professional people, and I like being around professional people. And I sat and talked to three or four guys, and every one of them just glowed about, I mean, you're spending money, and you're getting your car worked on.
Yeah.
About how nice these people were and how professional they were.
Well, I've gotten away from going to dealerships to have vehicles worked on because I always got ripped off. I always got charged a lot of money. And Joe is the service manager that helped us. I'm telling you what a great guy he is.
Yeah.
And we were expecting that we were going to have to spend between $2,500 and $3,500 to get his air conditioner repaired. And it was less than that. It was like $1,200.
And a two-year guarantee on it?
Two-year guarantee.
Two-year guarantee.
Yep. But they changed me, you know.
Yeah.
If you
They're
have a problem,
people.
They are the people.
That's why
to take
I
it.
Can't do Reed's family enough service on these commercials. That's how good they are. Yeah. They just treat you like your family. And you become family when you can do business there.
Yeah, if you can keep your existing vehicle and get it repaired or whatever, it's your money ahead to do that now. Yeah. And they're good folks to take it to. I can guarantee that.
I just love them, you know. I really like Trevin. I think he's just a wonderful American, you know, so what the hey. Tell you what, that wraps it up for this edition of the Midwest Outdoor. Got my fishing fever so high.
Yeah, we got to go catch some hybrids out at Milford.
Well, what time. About these big trout up in this stream? Oh. 17-pound trout.
22-pound.
22-pound
trout. The lodge record, 29-pound.
Oh, my gosh.
Argentina.
Bob Daly. What a guy.
All right.
They got to go for this week. The next time we see you, I hope we see you in a great outdoors.
Thank you, Greg, and thank you all. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Have a great week.
Bye.